It's the Personal Edge Fitness Show, a guide to improved health and fitness. You deserve a successful lifestyle, and Garrett Williamson will show you how. Dispelling the myths of fitness, nutrition, and health, because you deserve to live well. Now, the guide for your journey, your host, Garrett Williamson.
All right, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us today. Got a great show planned with a rather inspirational story, and I kind of want to jump right into it. I won't even talk about the Chicago music like I usually do. You are listening to the Personal Edge Fitness Radio Show. This is Garrett Williamson, and just to let you know that we are opening up the phone lines in the bottom half of the hour and for the last two segments of the show. And that number, just I want to make sure I get that out there, that's 251-343-0106. And we'll be taking your calls there. So, you know, this show I've talked to you before is about dispelling the myths of health, fitness, and nutrition. And we've done that in quite a few shows. I mean, the majority of our shows, we talk about dispelling those different myths. We even, the last show that we did with my guest, Micaiah from Fleet Feet, we dispelled some of the myths about shoes, which is kind of interesting. So that's what this program is about, because that's what we're about. We're about dispelling the myths of health, fitness, and nutrition. And our mission statement, a lot of people know, is we seek to make everyone feel better about being themselves. We feel that no matter what, if we do that, we've basically done our job. And we do that by helping everyone find their own level of wellness. Now, that is something that usually is a journey that we do together. We usually don't know that going into a program. And that's something we look to find. And tonight's program, tonight's guest is, I believe, and embodies that. And who's going to be joining me in a few minutes is Dr. Philip Fields. And Dr. Fields is he's going to tell you all about his life and why he's here. But he's going to be talking about his book, The Long Road Back to Boston, Running Marathons with Leukemia. Now, in reading this book this weekend, it made me start thinking about my own connections with cancer. And I think we all have those. I mean, I don't know how you can get through this life without being somehow touched by cancer, whether yourself or a friend or a loved one. In my case, many of my clients, I've had quite a few clients go through this. And one of my clients, I'm going to call him Frank. But Frank was one of my first clients. He lost a lung to cancer. One of my earliest clients, I actually trained his entire family. And at one time, Frank was personally responsible for 30% of my clientele. Now, he spent a lot of time helping me, getting involved in my business, but he was constantly driven. He was driven to compete in his business, compete even with his family. When his sons worked out with me, he wanted to know how much they were lifting. You know, he even competed with his friends. But something he was very driven by was driven to give. He was driven to give through his business, with his employees, to his family, to his friends, through his church. He was motivated by that. He was driven to give. And I'll tell you about another client that I had, Steve. Steve actually held public office. I firmly believe that Steve would be a client to this day if he had not lost his battle with pancreatic cancer. Our last conversation, I remember, he took time to educate me on what was going on in his particular challenge. Now, he was taking time to educate me. He had taken many opportunities to aid in my education, tell me about historical significance of our town and state, help me with the backgrounds of potential clients, and actually help me with my ultimate decision to go out on my own. His passion, obviously, was educating. I'm starting a series of podcasts on the Personal Edge Fitness podcast, which, by the way, you can find on anywhere that you get your podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Play, Google, among others. I mean, many of them. So, and I'm starting a series that we're titling Confessions of a Serial Personal Trainer. And it's just a collection I have of many stories that I've collected over 28 years of personal training. And the reason I bring this up is this one story, the first story that we're doing, actually is going to start on the second week of March. And the first story we're doing is on a client that I call Linda. And it has a lot to do with the show tonight. I'm actually going to read a little bit of that particular story because it plays into what we're going into. I'm finding a pattern. Linda started with me in the late 1990s, referred to me by Frank, who I spoke about earlier. Linda was not sure actually, if our paths had actually crossed. Now, she was easily recognizable as the heavyset substitute who so kindly graced us with her presence in the absence of a teacher fallen ill back in high school. Like clockwork, every Tuesday and Thursday morning, she religiously accepted the challenge as we eased our way into what to me was familiar, but to her, the unknown. In time, I quickly learned this tremendous teacher was also an incredible student. In 6 months' time, Linda attained an incredible 45-pound fat loss. Though we have an entire file of documentation, that is the only number I bother remembering since weight, otherwise known as the gravitational pull of the Earth on your body, is completely insignificant compared to it. She had actually attained the lifestyle change. Many times we are searching for the proverbial there. I'm working out and dieting to drop 20 pounds. I will look great when I get there. This entry-level position is okay for now, but one day I will make vice president and I can't wait to be there. There can be a blinding dream, that which we never attain, or at times be a constantly moving goalpost that keeps us from enjoying the journey. The goal of there must be specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. Knowing your true there is what we refer to as your level of wellness. Unlike so many who begin a fitness program seeking a lifestyle change, Linda reached there. One day at the end of the first year of training together, Linda walked into my office and simply stated, "Garrett, this is it. I do not care to lose any more weight. I just want to stay right where I am." Realizing it was her level of wellness, and we set about doing the work of helping Linda enjoy being there. In her usual way, Linda shared the crushing news about her cancer diagnosis in my office very privately. Not missing a beat, she followed the announcement with, "This day is all to follow are going to go as planned." Now, Linda had a lot of difficult days following that. Several scans that were good, some that were bad. And one time after quite a bit of time off with me, Linda arrived on time at her personal training session and was so glad to see her. She'd been out for so long. I knew that the workout was going to require quite a bit of adjustment. I did not care the level of adaptation needed. I just was so thrilled to have her return. Linda felt the same. And as I'm concerned about changing the weights and what have you, Linda told me, "Garrett, I know I'm not able to do very much today. I knew 2 days ago when I called you that I probably would not be able to do very much at all. But I got up, got dressed, drove myself here and walked in your door. I knew if I could do that, I would be okay." The reason I share this story is I learned something very valuable that day. It is something we actually all possess, or at least desire. No matter our challenges, the path our lives take, or the stress we face, at the end of the day, we seek to feel normal. Another quote, I needed to tell myself I was still a writer, not just a cancer patient. No matter how weak I had become, if nothing else, it was my way of countering the disease. I can still do this to myself. If I can ride, I'm okay. You'll start to see a pattern. This is from Dr. Field's book. I believe that when confronted with bad news, we attempt to hold on to a modicum of something that makes us feel normal. Running does that for me. This is why I'm having Dr. Fields on as my guest today. We're going to talk about an incredible journey of not just a runner, and not just a cancer patient, but somebody that has truly found his level of wellness and knows what it means to be there. Now, just a reminder, the bottom half of the hour, we're going to be taking phone calls. And that number to call in is area code 251-343-0106. And also, no, don't think twice about it. We're on Facebook. I'm catching messages there, live on our Personal Edge Fitness Facebook page. Also, that number that I gave you earlier, 251-343-0106, is also a text line. So feel free to text me messages. Not fantastic work in this equipment, but I'm getting better. I'm actually checking it out right now if you're watching me online. And so we hopefully I can catch all your messages there. Don't think twice about it. Stay tuned. We've got a fantastic guest coming up. You won't want to miss this.
To the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you on the road to a healthy lifestyle. Here now, Garrett Williamson.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Now, I want to introduce my guest here today, and I tell you what, I'm kind of winging this because I'm actually reading it from the back of his book. It was something I couldn't memorize because of the myriad of education this gentleman has. But Dr. Field received his BS degree from the University of Florida in 1969. His PhD in biochemistry from Texas A&M University in 1976. He's been teaching human anatomy and embryology to medical students at University of South Alabama College of Medicine in Mobile since 1980. His desire for his students to become successful doctors and to have fun and enjoy the journey to getting there. Now, he has a unique story to tell us tonight about running and his leukemia diagnosis. Dr. Fields, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Garrett, for having me here.
I appreciate you being able to join us. Now, I know you wanted to start out talking a little bit about the book or talking about a statement that you had to share with us.
Yeah, if there's one thing I'd like you to come away with from this presentation, it's that a diagnosis is not the end of life. It's only the beginning. And so that's what you should take away from this meeting.
Fantastic. Well, and that's made more than abundantly clear in your book. So, well, let me ask you this first. Now, I'm interested. We'll talk a little bit later about your education. I want to talk to you a little bit about that because I've got some questions and stuff that we talk about on the show that I'm going to dive into that if you don't mind.
Sure.
But also, when did you start running?
I can't remember when I wasn't running.
Really?
And I didn't run because I was any good at it. It was just that I liked the way it made me feel.
Well, I understand. So, well, and that particular thought, that's an interesting theme that kind of seems like it ran through your life, like the way it made you feel, which I find that very interesting. So how many marathons had you done prior to, let's say, 2007?
Well, my first marathon was in 1984. I was 37 years old, and I got hooked on doing that and had a goal to qualify for the Boston Marathon. I had a friend that told me that you're not a runner if you don't qualify and run the Boston Marathon.
Sure, sure.
And so that was my goal. And so 11 years and 26 failed attempts, I finally qualified for the 100th running of the Boston Marathon in 1996 with a time of 3 hours and 25 minutes.
Fantastic. Fantastic. It's incredible. It's an incredible time to qualify for. How did that particular run go?
There's nothing like Boston. It's it's just the most incredible race. The crowds, the places you see and go through, it lives with you forever.
Right. Well, and that's what I hear from. I mean, I've done world championship races that happen to be my kind of Boston Theatre Marathon. But I talk to people that are runners that do marathons, and that is the. I mean, that's the creme de la creme. That's the one. I've heard people that have run New York and said it's a tremendous experience, but nothing compares to Boston. So, yeah. And I got that from reading your book also. But they weren't always successful attempts. We'll get to that in just a minute because I think that was some of a life-defining moment. So, now you didn't do this alone. You mentioned that a lot in the book. You talk about, in fact, you dedicated this to a lot of people that shaped your life, and one of the reasons why you wrote the book. So, any particular those people you want to talk about, especially in the early days?
Well, the group I called the team, and there's actually a chapter in the book about them. They took me to a whole new level of training.
Right.
That actually allowed me to get to a point where I could qualify.
Sure.
I thought I was training, but these guys took it to a whole new level.
Right.
And they were all excellent runners. They had all run marathons under 3 hours.
Had all of them done Boston?
Two of them had.
Okay. So a couple of them were, as you described, great runners, right?
Right.
Okay. By that definition. So, and you did a lot of your training you were teaching in Mobile at the time. And it's for the marathons you were doing. I mean, these were some university friends of yours that worked in the university also?
one worked at the university, and well, actually two of them did, and the other was a building contractor.
Okay, I got you.
And so we'd meet at noon every day and go out for a 10-mile run.
Just a 10-mile run every day?
Right.
Yeah, no big deal.
So. Yeah, these guys, they had no compassion for pain. They would run 10 miles. We'd do it Monday through Friday, and then they would get excited about doing a race on Saturday.
Right, right. Most people call that sick, but I understand that some people are driven to do such things. So
yeah, and every run was a race to these guys. They were always competing.
Right, right, right. So. You talk about that. You talk about somebody that kind of changed the course a couple of times. In fact, you've got I think there was a video y'all did of a race or something that involved a truck. And
yeah, we had this one guy. I won't mention his name. you'll read about him, but he would always be the first one to dress out, and he'd get out the door before we did.
Right.
And so it was his competitive edge. I mean, he wanted to win all costs.
I understand.
And so he would always cut something off of the course. And it didn't matter what course we ran, he always found a way to make a shortcut out of it.
Right, right.
And so that was his nickname. Cut the course,
cut
Larry.
I got you. Well, getting
funny
to,
guy.
Yeah, I'm sure. So it sounds like it, especially in his running style, or at least his running pattern. Let's put it that way. So, But I mentioned earlier how many times you'd actually run Boston marathons and what have you before 2007. The reason I bring that up is that was a rather significant time for you. Can you tell us a little about what happened?
Well, after the '96, I sort of took a hiatus from running marathons. I still train, but I started doing triathlons.
Right, okay.
And then I told the guy, the group that I ran with, I said, you know, we need to qualify and do in Boston at least one more time.
Right, okay.
And so we all trained together, and we qualified in 2003 for the 2004 Boston Marathon.
Right, right. Now, we're going to hold that story on what happened in the 2004. And if you would, I think skip to 2007. Because that was a rather significant change in your life.
Yeah. So, actually, I did the first light marathon in 2006, under 4 hours. And so I was on my way back to Boston. Mm-hmm. And about 3 weeks after that marathon, I couldn't run 3 miles without stopping to walk.
Wow.
And so since that was so sudden, they thought it was cardiovascular.
Right.
And so I went through all kind of tests. And actually, I spent almost 10 months, going through tests.
Right.
And finally, my general practitioner took a blood sample.
Right.
Surprisingly, that was the first one in all those tests.
Exactly.
And my white count was exceedingly high.
Right.
So he said I had a number of possibilities, and it turned out it was leukemia.
Right, right. And you started out here once you had the leukemia diagnosis, you started out here at Mitchell Cancer Center. But you also spent some time, I believe, at MD Anderson.
Right. I wanted a second opinion.
Sure.
And actually, what I was doing, I was just putting off the inevitable.
Sure.
Because I was pretty sure they got the diagnosis right here. But so I went to MD Anderson, and they looked at different cell markers than they did here and came up with a diagnosis.
Right, okay.
And there they told me that I had an aggressive form of the chronic lymphocytic leukemia, and that I would probably be starting chemotherapy within 3 months.
Wow.
And even with that, I probably had a 5 to 7 year life expectancy.
You know, most anybody would be, of course, anybody would be shocked receiving that news. I mean, that's, you know, I feel a little ridiculous asking you, how'd you feel? What I really want to ask you about is, what was the first thing you asked the doctor?
Well, my only concern was, can I get back to running and training for Boston?
Wow.
So that's what I asked him.
Yeah. And his response?
He said I needed to find another hobby because that would more than likely shorten that 5 to 7 years.
Wow. 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 How did that feel?
That was the worst news I received at MD Anderson.
Wow.
Even beyond the 5 to 7 years, because what I learned in this whole journey is that running was a real passion of mine.
Right.
Even though I didn't excel in it, I don't have any trophies on my walls or anything, but I just love doing it.
Well, I mean, I can understand that, but you'd already. I mean, if you don't mind, I'm testing you on this, but you had already attained in your mind great runner status. I mean, because you'd run Boston, yeah. And but
after
still.
You run Boston, you want to do it again.
Okay,
it's just an incredible race.
I understand.
And what makes it so unique is that it really drives you to train because it's the one marathon you have to qualify for.
Wow. Well, and you didn't drop your dream for running Boston, but you kind of took it to another level. Now, I talked in the first segment about the quest of feeling normal that I've seen with the experiences I've had with people that being diagnosed with cancer. But you took normal and you threw it in bucket list territory. Tell everybody what you decided to do.
Yeah. Well, one thing I quickly learned is it was running was the one thing that made me feel normal.
Right.
And so I set a goal. I've always been goal oriented. That I would run a marathon in every state, and starting in 2009, and I would finish those states in 2012. Wow. Now, the reason I picked 2012, because that was going to be 51 marathons in 47 months.
Oh, my gosh. Fantastic.
And so I picked 2012, end of December of 2012, because based on the time when I started having symptoms, that was going to be 6 years into my 5 to 7. So
oh,
I couldn't procrastinate.
Right, right. Time was definitely of a factor there.
Yes.
So it's an incredible. I mean, most people would think about you know, of course, 3 to 5 years, and definitely making the best of 3 to 5 years, but be more focused on the diagnosis, focused on this. And here you were setting a monster, a bucket list type of goal to instead of just concentrating on the cancer. So. I'll tell you what, when we come back, we're going to talk about that, and you have your chance to ask Dr. Fields any questions about this in the next segment. Feel free to call us at 251-343-0106. Come back for the rest of the story.
Sun comes up.
Welcome back to the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you on the road to a healthy lifestyle. Here now, Garrett Williamson.
All right, fantastic. Thank you for coming back, and I know you want to hear the rest of the story here. I'm sitting here with my guest, Dr. Philip Fields. Dr. Fields is the author of The Long Road Back to Boston, Running Marathons with Leukemia, and we're going to get back to what we were talking about a minute ago about his bucket list. But challenge that he set up for himself. But I want to remind you of the phone number. The phone lines are open. You can call or text to 251-343-0106, and we'll be glad to take your questions here on the show. And also, we are live on Facebook. I'm looking for comments there also. But back to this unique challenge that you said. Did you happen to share this with your physician?
Yes. He wasn't excited about it. But my oncologist here at MCI is Dr. Thomas Butler.
Right.
And very laid back, very conservative in his approach, and he's always upbeat.
Right.
And he was concerned what running marathons might do to me.
Sure.
But unlike at MD Anderson, he didn't tell me not to do it.
Oh, wow. 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 So, okay. Well, I mean, it sounds like he kind of understood you. I don't know that anybody would have been successful to tell you to stop.
They wouldn't have. I mean, my cardiologist has done it, and
right.
Recently because of chemo-related issues with my heart. But.
Tell me about this journey now, because when I was reading about it, you had it was quite a bit of a challenge. In fact, the times you chose to do this and what's going on in your life, especially with the diagnosis and your treatment, was. I mean, that's far beyond carrying a 50-pound pack for 26.2 miles. It really is. So, yeah. Tell us a little bit about the journey and how you get going on it.
Well, the real challenge was to work in a marathon a month around my teaching schedule.
Right.
And sometimes, if a national park was close by and I wanted to do hiking in there, I had to take some extra time also.
Sure.
There couldn't be a course going on when I ran these marathons.
So wait a second now. You're running a marathon in these areas, and you're also doing some hiking too while you're out there?
After the marathon.
After the marathon. Okay.
No, not before.
That was a heck of a warm-up there, Phil. Yeah. Definitely. So.
Yeah, day 4 marathon, I don't do anything but chill out in the
room. I understand. So where did it start?
And everything went well until 2011 when the oncologist said it was time.
Okay.
And the way they knew that, they were monitoring my blood every month.
Sure. Well, excuse me for interrupting, but by that time, 2011, how many marathons did you have towards your goal of 50?
Well, it was one a month at that point, and so there was 11 and 12. Actually, in 2010, I ran 16 marathons that
year.
Wow. So
amazing.
27.
27 at that? Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you. So in 2011, it was time.
Right. And the way they knew that is that they looked for a doubling time of the white cells.
Okay.
Because the chemotherapy was going to affect cells, would act on them when they were unmasked and doubling.
Right. Okay.
Undergoing mitosis.
Sure.
And so my count started doubling each month. Not each month, each week.
Right.
That I was given a blood sample, and so they said it was time.
I got you.
And even then, I questioned, did I really need to do it then? And so he sent me to have a second opinion, just so I'd be comfortable with his decision and with mine.
Sure.
And so I went to another oncologist, and they said they agreed with him, and I said, well, do I have to do it right now?
Right.
And they said, no, if you have some things you need to get done, you can wait a few days.
Sure.
And I was thinking about waiting 2 years until I finished my goal. And her comment was, not if you want to live.
Right,
and
right.
So
right.
That was a shock.
I'm sure.
And so basically chemo started. It was 3 days a week. I picked Wednesday, Thursday, Friday because I could teach on Monday and Tuesday.
Right.
And hoping that I would recover over the weekend.
Sure.
And so on Wednesday, I handled it okay. Thursday and Friday, Saturday and Sunday, I couldn't eat anything. I couldn't drink anything.
Right. Wow.
And I'd go in Monday, and they'd give me a fluid IV.
Right.
And by that afternoon, I was back running.
Oh, my gosh.
And
this is after not being able to eat or drink anything.
Yeah, I'd go in Monday and I'd be 15 pounds lighter than on the Wednesday before. And so.
And then go knock out a run on Monday afternoon.
I would run Monday afternoon and I would schedule a marathon 2 weekends out from that. And so I'd do the marathon that weekend and then I'd come back and start that next Wednesday on the next treatment.
That's incredible. I tell you, after hearing that, I'm not so sure I'm going to take. Really, I'm not sure I've heard an excuse for one of my clients about not showing up for one Monday workout. I mean, that's incredible. But 2 weeks out from that day, from that Saturday, what, that weekend or whatever, you would plan a marathon.
Yep.
How successful were you?
I never failed in one during that period.
Amazing. Well, how did it feel?
And I couldn't. I mean, you know, I had a goal.
Yeah, obviously. So that's what was driving you. Well. And this sounds like a strange question, I know, but I thought about this, and what would you say that what part did the goal of 50 marathons in, I keep saying 50 marathons, it's a marathon in every state. Actually, it was 51, wasn't that correct?
I did DC as well.
DC as well, okay.
And I repeated Florida, so it was actually 52 and
52
47.
Is what you ended up, okay. Okay. What part did that play in your recovery?
Well, I mean, like I said, running was the one thing that made me feel normal.
Right.
And so, and the nice thing about training and running a marathon, for that time that you're out there doing that, you don't think about leukemia.
Okay. It takes your mind off.
It just took my mind off of it.
There's something I talk about a lot. The live age is one of my mantras, and the idea that we don't really. We cause ourselves to deteriorate, not just deteriorate over time. And one of the things I say that really drives a lot of that is mindset. I mean, mindset drives everything. You know, the old idea that if you think you can't, you won't. I mean, nobody really questions that. This speaks to exactly that. I mean, for the risk of possibly belittling it, it was a diversion.
Yeah.
More than anything.
It was. And plus, you know, when we're used to running marathons and the 330, 340 range, and now you're having to do these in five and a half hours.
Right.
And during chemotherapy, some were in 6 hours.
Wow.
it is a mental thing, you know.
Yeah,
and it's
sure.
something you just have to get over. And that's the one thing about passions that I've learned from this, is that you can take your passion too far and not really enjoy the journey. Because when I was running in the 330s, I was not happy with those marathons because I was not qualifying for Boston with them.
Right.
And so I considered them just failures along the way.
Right.
When in fact, I look back on those, and those were just special marathons.
I'm sure, yeah.
Based on what I'm running now.
Well, and you mentioned that. In fact, I'd marked a section in the book where you talk about that, and you talk about, excuse me, I think it's my water bottle wanting to talk, but you talked about looking back on my journey from 1984 to present has been so ironic. I never enjoyed the accomplishments of running marathons in the 330s because that time was not fast enough, as you said, to qualify for Boston. But you said now, in the end of this, now I would love to be able to break 6 hours for a marathon.
Yes.
Okay. This is the reason I brought up in that story a minute ago, and it reminded me of the story, and this is the reason I told it in the first segment about my clients searching for there. And it's amazing how many times I have people come in and sit in my office and talk about, God, I used to could, I used to could, I used to could. And all I can think when I hear them saying this is exactly what you just said. At that time, did you appreciate that? Or were you in a constant state of there? Now knowing this, two things. First thing, are you there? Are you living your level of wellness now? It's something we that personal ed calls your level of wellness.
Well, I'm living with it.
Okay.
So yeah. it's deteriorated pretty much, and but there's still something in the back of my mind that won't let me quit.
Right.
And you know, there's such a euphoric feeling finishing a marathon.
Sure.
But like I was thinking the other day, now my marathons have become a love-hate relationship.
Why is that?
You know, I hate running because I feel so bad when I'm doing it.
Right.
But I love the feeling of completing a marathon at
right.
the end.
Wow, wow.
And so that overcomes
the
negative
the
feeling, and I'm immediately looking for another one to schedule.
Sure. And this particular passage that you talk about, these different times, and the fact that you at the time when you were running the 330s, you weren't really appreciating and enjoying them. There's plenty of people. There's probably people listening to this show right now, and there's plenty of people that are hear this on the podcast, and they're there. They're mad at 333 because they're trying to hit 329. What kind of advice would you have for those individuals?
Enjoy the journey.
Right.
You know, if you work hard, you'll get there.
Right.
And you just can't give up.
Sure.
You know, if you're not getting there, you've got to work harder.
Right.
But right. enjoy every one of them.
I can definitely understand that. That makes perfect sense, and I can't agree with you more on that. So let's go now. Now I'm going to skip over and talk a little bit about your education. The reason being is that I noticed in the book that your education certainly played a part in your journey after your diagnosis. I mean, you're a researcher, and in fact, I lost count. I mean, how many chapters you've written, and you and your brother, I believe, traveling around to different areas and doing
right. We both took different routes, but ended up doing research on the same hormone.
Oh wow!
And so we collaborated on a lot of research projects.
Sure.
And we were internationally known and invited to give talks nationally and internationally, and
right.
which was a great journey. When you can do something with your brother who you truly love,
right.
it really makes it a special time in your life.
Now, I can't disagree with you. I can't disagree with you at all about that. I have an older brother, and I call him my hero. And my first world championship, my brother and I qualified together, and we raced in 2011 in the sprint triathlon for the Team USA in China. And so I share that with you. But the point I want to bring up is at the heart of this, you're a researcher. I mean, you're a teacher, an educator, you're a researcher. You did quite a bit of research on the particular type of leukemia that you have. And I read about that in the book. You actually do some explaining about that. For somebody that's going through a similar journey, that's been diagnosed with, as we call it, the big C,
Where do you recommend they learn more about it? Because I'm sure that the people have a million questions.
Yeah. You've got to go to a reputable site.
Okay.
And the one that I would go to is called cancer.gov.
Sure.
And you just plug in what your diagnosis is, and you can get all the information you want.
Right.
If you just go to Google or Wikipedia, you get so much overwhelming information that you're just really not reputable or true.
Right. And when we come back now, we're about to go to a break in just a minute, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the fact that you've reached a point in your journey, but you're not stopping. You're using your experiences, not just through the book, but you're using your experiences to help others. And I want to talk about the different things that you're involved in as far as reaching out and helping others through this same journey. So I tell you what, if you think your workouts are tough, try doing a marathon while going through chemo. Hey, join me back in just a minute for the next break, after the break, with Dr. Philip Fields discussing his book, The Long Road Back to Boston, Running with Leukemia.
Welcome back to the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you on the road to a healthy lifestyle. Here now, Garrett Williamson.
All right, thank you for joining us, and welcome back. We're talking to Dr. Philip Fields about his book, The Long Road Back to Boston, Running Marathons with Leukemia. Now, before the break, I spoke about some of the things you're doing you're still doing to help other people. But before we get to that, because I think there's so many things in your book that help people. And I noticed something that you mentioned in here, that some people might find strange. But you talked about thinking of dying, or the lack thereof, that some people do. And in that conversation, in that paragraph, you mentioned you felt fortunate with your diagnosis. Can you explain that?
Well, I always had an interest in traveling around the U.S. and going to national parks and hiking in them.
Right.
But there's always a reason not to.
Sure.
You know, you can always come up with an excuse.
Yes.
And since with the diagnosis, procrastination is no longer my vocabulary.
Right.
And so it afforded me the opportunity to do that.
Right.
Something I would not have done.
Wow.
So I've been to every state, every Canadian province.
Oh, wow.
Hiked in all the major national parks in Canada and the U.S., and that's just something I would not have done.
Well, you mentioned that after you finished you did the 51, you went on and ran marathons in every province in Canada, and then also Civil War battlefields?
Yeah. Growing up, I was a Civil War enthusiast. In fact, I've gone to the libraries and read every book I could get my hands on.
Sure.
And to go to parks like Antietam and Gettysburg, where there's so much history.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
So much bloodshed, but yet so much honor and courage on both sides. And to actually go there and run a marathon through those battlefields was incredible.
I'm sure. And of course, you spent time there afterwards and spending time going through the battlefields. Of all the marathons you've run, which I think I know the answer to at least one of them, but which one would you definitely go back and do again? And is there one that you would you not care to do again?
Of course, Boston. I mean, I'd go back there,
of course,
again. Probably one of the most unusual marathons I did, and the one that really left more memories with me was a Kailua volcano marathon.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Over on the Big Island, Hawaii.
Yeah.
I've spent a whole chapter writing about that.
I found that fascinating.
Incredible story and sight.
Yeah.
The most beautiful sight I ran one was Crater Lake.
Really?
And,
oh, wow.
But yet one of the hardest because
I don't
make sufficient red blood cells or hemoglobin, and the elevation there was 7,500 feet.
Oh, wow. That's an extra challenge.
And so it was incredible challenge.
And, you know, you stated in the book that your doctor stated that runners are the worst patients, that they think they can – this is actually a quote from the book – they think they can outrun their illness. And I'm curious,
because, you know, I finished this book, so I know kind of well, where you are, at least at the time when you finished the book, where you were. When did you finally see the light on that, or did you?
Well, I probably saw it when I was told that. but I really didn't notice it until probably the last three years when right. I started having heart issues.
Right.
And so my cardiologist was always trying to get me to stop running marathons because he said, you know, you're going to drop dead out there.
Right, yeah.
And I said, well, if I drop dead doing what I love doing, then, I'm okay with that. And that's when he told me that.
Right, so. Right. Well, I can definitely understand that. I mean, to go doing what you love, that makes perfect sense to me. And the amazing thing about your journey is that you never stopped living. That was the whole idea. I know that may sound trivial, but you grabbed a major goal with gusto. And it seemed to drive you through this entire process. And in this book, it gets much more detailed. You talk about your family, and your mom was evidently a tremendous influence. She was quite a giver herself.
Right. She was the first public health nurse in Sumter County.
Right.
And she went through in there in a time when kids were dying from hookworms.
Wow. Yeah.
Infestations and. People didn't have sanitation.
Sure.
And there were no vaccinations at the time.
Wow, yeah.
And so she basically built up a health program there in that county. And mm-hmm. and she's been the legislature in Florida has proclaimed her as the, Angel of Mercy.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
They've named the highway that goes by the health clinic. In her honor,
yeah. I tell you the book, just the stories that he tells about his mother, and you can definitely see where he gets his tenacity from, and that's worth. I tell you what, that's worth more than the price of the book. That's for sure. Speaking of the book, where can you get it?
Best place, you just go to Amazon.com
sure.
and search my name, Philip right. Fields.
All right,
two L's in Philip.
Okay,
and it'll. Pop up for you.
Fantastic. So we'll make sure we put that on our Facebook page so we can go that link also. But now that you've gone through this yourself, what you're doing more just to give back. Tell us about what you're involved in.
Yeah, well, I was at a marathon in Wichita, and they had published an article about me, and I got a phone call from a lady that was inspired by what I was doing, and she was encouraged because her daughter had been diagnosed with leukemia and was going to undergo chemotherapy, but now she felt like there was hope. And so that's when I started raising money for pediatric oncology.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
Since that was 2010, since then I've raised close to $100,000 for
oh, that's
pediatric
tremendous.
Oncology.
That's tremendous.
And so that's the main one of the reasons I wrote this book, because it was a way to hopefully – generate royalties for
right,
pediatric
right.
oncology.
Right. The girl that you're talking about, you talked about somebody in your book that had read your book or heard your story, actually saw your story in the
right.
In
the lady's name was Melanie. And,
right.
I never got her last name, so I was never able to truly thank her for putting me on the right path and
sure.
Thinking about others and not just my own self-serving goal that I had of running those marathons.
And don't you have a website that they can go to?
I do have a website. It's called runningwithleukemia.org, and the thing on that is it's .org, not .com.
Okay.
So runningwithleukemia.org.
All right.
Has photos from all my marathons, my running times,
sure.
Stories.
Tremendous. So. And hopefully a link to get the book. Also, somehow
the book is linked in there that you great. Can, if you go to runningwithleukemia.org, you will
right.
see the link for the book there as well.
Great. You still running?
Still running. Just got back from the Lake Mead Marathon. And
oh, tremendous.
Planning one for Connecticut and Wyoming now.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess your goals, I mean, being goal-driven, your goals haven't stopped.
No, I'm sort of in the back of my mind, I'm thinking I'll complete the states a second time, and I've got seven more states to do.
Tremendous, tremendous, so. Amazing, amazing.
But I also belong to an organization called First Connection, which
right.
is I joined that through the Leukemia Lymphoma Society.
Sure.
And what they do is they have your name and address and phone number, and they put you in connection with people that are have the same type of cancer, and it's like, you know, Alcoholic Anonymous.
Right, you know. Having a sponsor, more or less.
So if somebody wants to call and talk, you listen. You don't talk. Right. You don't give them advice.
Right.
You just listen and offer them encouragement.
That's tremendous, and I appreciate the story. I appreciate what you the fact that you've chronicled this, especially for anybody going through this and anybody really facing any kind of challenge. And I also appreciate you being on the show and telling us your story about it.
Sure,
thank you very much. And you may question why on the Personal Edge Fitness Show I would have somebody come on talk about running and doing this kind of a challenge with leukemia. Well, we talk all the time about living your level of wellness. We also talk a lot about reaching your there. And I can't think of a better story that chronicles the importance of finding your there and living your level of wellness. Thank you so much for joining us today. Folks, if you want to check out our site, interested in any more information about Dr. Field's book, or you're interested in contacting us to find out your level of wellness, please contact us at personaledgefitness.com or our Facebook page, Personal Edge Fitness, or you can always call us at 251-341-0927. I'll catch you next week on the Personal Edge Fitness Show. Thank you so much for listening.
This has been the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you live a successful lifestyle. Continue the journey next Tuesday at 6 when Garrett Williamson brings you another edition of the Personal Edge Fitness Show on FM Talk 106.5.